Hey, school counselor friends. Are you looking to take your counseling program to the next level? Well, we have some exciting news for you. The Perks School Counselor Content Club membership. And guess what? For a limited time only, you can get half off our yearly membership or even try us for a special $99 6-month deal. But hurry, this is our Black Friday deal and it's only good until November 29th. So what exactly do you get with the Perks School Counselor Content Club membership anyway? Well, let me tell you, you get instant access to all of the perks. That means you'll have access to the full library of lessons, groups, individual curriculum, games, decor, and everyday resources too. It's like having a treasure trove of counseling materials right at your fingertips. But that's not all, because Perks membership also offers professional development that can earn you college credit. Yes, you heard me right. You'll be able to enhance your skills while earning credits towards professional growth. And here's an extra treat for you and your students. Bonus seasonal resources that they'll absolutely love. It's the perfect way to keep your counseling sessions fresh and engaging throughout the year. But the best part, the Perks School Counselor Content Club membership gives you the freedom to really enjoy your job. No more spending countless hours planning lessons, groups, and individual counseling sessions. With the perks, you'll have everything you need to work smarter and not harder. So why wait? Take advantage of this Black Friday deal now and get your instant access to all our lesson plans, groups, and tier 3 resources, plus the templates you need for building your counseling systems, access to our private Facebook community, live webinars, and questions and answers with me and Brandy, as well as all the downloadable materials that you can use right away. So don't miss out on this opportunity to elevate your counseling program. Once again, it's half off our yearly membership or a special $99 6-month membership. But remember, this offer is only valid until November 29th. So visit our website today or check the show notes and join the perks. Your students deserve the best, and so do you.
You're listening to the Counselor Chat Podcast, a show for school counselors looking for easy to implement strategies, how-to tips, collaboration, and a little spark of joy. I'm Carol Miller, your host. I'm a full-time school counselor and the face behind Counseling Essentials. I'm all about creating simplified systems, data-driven practices, and using creative approaches to engage students. If you're looking for a little inspiration to help you make a big impact on student growth and success, you're in the right place because we're better together. Ready to chat? Let's dive in.
Hi, everyone. It's Carol. Welcome back to Counselor Chat. I am so excited today because I am here with Ashley Bartley. Ashley is an elementary school counselor in Virginia, and she's also known as Counselor Station on TPT and on all her social media accounts. And so she's here with me today to talk about kids, really. So we're going to talk about kids and some other stuff along the way as well. I'm going to turn it over to Ashley. Ashley, you want to say hi to everybody?
Sure. Hi. Thank you so much for having me today, Carol. I'm really excited to talk with you more about this.
Can you tell our listeners maybe a little bit about yourself, like how long you've been a counselor or about your school or really anything else you want them to know about you?
Sure. So I'm Ashley. I am in Virginia. I'm in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. I live here with my husband and 3 little boys. They are 6, 8, and 10. And they all attend the elementary school where I'm a school counselor. So it's the 1 year they'll all be with me. So that's been a really fun thing this year.
Yeah, I have to say, I had 3 kids and they all went to school with me too. And that was probably the most precious time.
Yes.
Having them in the building. So awesome.
It's so sweet. My kindergartner and I, we were counting how many times we passed each other in the hallway today and how many hugs he gave me. And it was 4. So it's like 4 times I got to see him during the school day. It was really sweet.
I love that.
I went to University of Virginia for undergrad, and then I went to the College of William & Mary to get my master's in school counseling. And that is where I grew up in Williamsburg. So I got to go home for grad school before I got married. And then we moved back out to the Charlottesville area. So now I live in the Shenandoah Valley. This is my 15th year of school counseling. We have 12 more days of school left, so that'll be the end of my 15th year. I'm also a curriculum writer. And like you said, my TPT store is called Counselor Station. And I'm also an author of 5 children's books with Boys Town Press. I actually started my counseling career in a middle school. I absolutely loved it. I feel like that is the sweet spot for me with ages. And then I moved to elementary school to do more preventative, proactive work with the kids. And I've been in elementary ever since. The school where I work right now is a rural Title I school. We have about 700 kids in pre-K through fifth grade. We have 2 counselors. I have a fabulous co-counselor, and we split the grades even in odd numbers. We have about half the kids, a little over half the kids, get free and reduced lunch. And we are officially in a pretty new building after I worked in these pod schools for a while where you had to like go outside to leave your classroom. So we're very excited to be in a really beautiful new building. And yeah, that's a little about me.
Well, that's pretty exciting to have, I think, a really nice building and a new school. And I know, I remember the time that I was able to open up a new school and have a brand new building and new facilities. And that was pretty awesome. So
it's awesome. So nice. My oldest son was in kindergarten when it opened, and he's now finishing up fifth grade. So they're the first class that went K to 5 in this new building. So we've really enjoyed it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm also a little bit jealous that you only have, what did you say, 12 days of school left?
Yes. We start so early in the summer. So 12 days.
Yeah. We go till the end of June. So,
oh my gosh. That's like where I grew up. We always went to mid-June in Williamsburg. So, and it was because of Busch Gardens. They needed kids to work at Busch Gardens. So we wouldn't start school until after Labor Day.
Okay.
And so then we would go out really late. So this is all new when sometimes we go back like the end of July to start back.
I won't be too jealous of you then because yeah. I'll definitely be on vacation.
Yes.
So I know for our listeners that I want to share with them that you are going to be one of our presenters at our summer counselor conference. This is like our second year of holding the conference. And last year we had, I don't know if you know this, but we had about 2,700 counselors from all over the US and actually all over the world attend. So it was pretty amazing to interact with all these people. And so we're really excited that you are going to be one of our presenters this year. And your session is called Tears at Drop-Off, Tactical Tips for Addressing School Anxiety, Separation Anxiety, and School Refusal. Do I have that right?
Yes.
You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. And first, I just want to say I was a presenter last year at the conference, and I just really enjoyed the energy of the conference. Everyone came away so excited. It was so much fun to be in the groups, you know, when everybody was talking about their favorite tips from the different sessions. And it was fun to see people's recommendations and hop over to that session to watch, you know, the ones that were recommended. And there were just so many good things that came out of it, so many ideas that you could implement like right away. It kind of put you in the back to school mood. So it was awesome.
I have to say, yeah, for a virtual conference, there really was a lot of energy.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm hoping that this year it even tops it. Like,
right.
I'm ready.
Yeah. In my session, I chose this because I chose the topic of school anxiety and separation anxiety because there has been an uptick that I've seen. I mean, you know, there are always kids who have separation anxiety, but it seems like it has really gotten more prevalent in the last few years, especially since COVID. And I looked it up and there are statistics saying, you know, that it's happening more often, just kids are experiencing it more often. So I thought it would be helpful to share a lot of different tools and tips that I use just because one thing might not work for everyone. So it's kind of nice to have a tool belt of ideas of ways to work with the kids. So I will go over just a lot of ideas that, you know, different people in the school can use to help step up and support the kids, especially the ones that are really struggling at drop-off. I'm one of the my morning duty is to greet kids as they come in from the car line. And so that's the other counselor's job as well. And it's, you know, I think it was very strategic that they put us there because we have a lot of kids who come in teary, and we have to use different ideas, you know, for different kids, depending on how severe their tears are. Okay. So I will talk in my session about, you know, why the session would be beneficial, you know, for educators that are seeing this increase. I'm going to give tactical ideas to support the students in the transition to school, and then ways that they can collaborate with parents and caregivers to support their children. I'm going to try to share strategies that you can use at all levels, tier one, tier two, and tier three. So like I said, I moved to elementary school to really be proactive. And so anytime I can use a universal support, you know, for everybody, I just love that because it makes our job easier, you know, when we can do things that are going to benefit a lot of kids. And so right. I'll share some things that we do across the board for new students and for our new incoming kindergartners and the parents, because a lot of times the parents are the ones that need these strategies, for being honest.
Totally, totally. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
If you were to share with people right now, like a strategy that you might use for tier one, what is maybe a strategy that you use or you tend to use a lot in tier one?
I send home a newsletter, or not a newsletter. I do send home a newsletter. I send home a tip sheet for using with kids with separation anxiety. And I will give it to parents of new kids. I will give it to the caregivers of our incoming kindergarten students. Like, we tuck it into every kindergarten orientation packet. And then I have it at open house. And that way it just spreads the message that the easiest way to drop your child off is just, you know, to go through the car line. Don't come in with them. Say a quick goodbye. Let them come in and let them, you know, get acclimated to their classroom. So whenever I can give that tip out, you know, across the board, it's really helpful. So we just do a lot of things like that. We have kindergarten orientation days where they come and they practice being in a kindergarten room when they're still in preschool. So that's really helpful. Yeah. So we just try to do a lot of things like that.
Okay. And how do you know when to move on from like tier one to tier two? What's your, like, do they cry so many times, or like you have to go and get them or encourage them a certain number of times? Like, what's your, do you have like a distinguishing factor?
Yeah. I, especially because I'm right by the front door, you know, I tend to see the kids that are the kind of frequent flyers who, you know, I guess frequent criers, you could say, who come in upset, and I can kind of see how the exchange goes out of the car from the bat. And we'll have people outside calling for support for us to go out to the curb and help those students. So I can see that. And then I also talk with the teachers. I will typically run a school anxiety and separation anxiety group pretty early on in the year. And so it's typically kindergarten and first graders that are in that group. And so I'll talk to the teachers and see who they refer, especially for the kids who continue to struggle even once they're in the classroom and they still are struggling to get settled in, you know, into the classroom routine. So I will get those kids and do more of a group approach. And that seems to be really helpful because the kids see that they're not the only one, you know, that are struggling, and they can help support each other as they're learning strategies.
Right. We're right now in my building, we are getting rather recently too, new students that are refugees. And some of them have been living in like refugee camps in their home country or a nearby country. And they're coming to us. And these kids, some of them haven't been in school. So they might be a little bit older, the second, third grade, but I think I need a a group like you are running right now or have run with some of my new to us students, because they are just struggling with the whole, like, first of all, some of them struggle with the language or they don't know any English at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, how do you get them acclimated when they're just, this is all brand new.
Right. So. Yeah. And I think that that's a learning experience for you as the counselor as well, you know, to see what their needs are, because, you know, that would be new to me as well. And it would be really interesting to see what exactly, you know, what their lagging skills are, what they need. And it would be neat to have a group or individual sessions where you really find out what it is that they need.
Yeah, I never thought about actually doing a group, but that might be a really great idea. So I'm glad that you said that. All right. So what our listeners don't know, actually, is that before we actually started this recording, I was talking to you about another little kiddo that I have, a kindergartner, who really, he comes into the school fine, but he is just refusing to go to the classroom. So I'd like to really pick your brains a little bit and see if you have any strategies for me.
Okay. Did you want to share a little bit about what your students' behaviors are, or would you like me to?
Yeah, certainly.
Okay.
So my little guy will walk in. Usually we have breakfast first thing in the morning. It's usually like a grab and go bag that the kids can pick up and bring into their classroom. And he always gets breakfast, but he grabs that bag and then he will immediately run down the hallway. And it takes a couple people to usually try to rein him in and find where he might be hiding and then trying to get him back into the classroom. I have to say, some days we're not successful in getting him into the classroom at all. So,
Yeah.
So he's I just love this little dude. Aww. I mean, I love him, but he's a handful. Like, he's a lot of energy and a lot of work. So yeah. Any tips that you have to, you know, I'm not against bribes. Like, I'll do anything to get him in the class. So whatever you got.
Is he, or is your student a bus rider or car rider?
Today he was a bus rider.
Does it seem to make a difference if they ride the bus? Is it any better?
No. No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. Because usually he's a drop-off. Mm-hmm. But today he was a bus rider and he got off the bus. Like I said, he grabbed his breakfast. He walks down the hall. He was about halfway down the hall when he kicks off his shoes and then just takes off.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are so many different things you can try. So, it depends, you know, on the child. It sounds like the child has a good routine, a start of a routine where they come in and they go get breakfast. I know as much as you can, like, you know, you would try to build that routine. Getting them, if they won't go into the classroom, though, that makes it very hard.
It does make it hard. It's a challenge.
I have even used with students like who run, they try to run back outside once they get to school. I've even used reverse psychology where I'll say, like, I was in your classroom earlier and there was a chair. The chair was still up on your desk, but I bet you can't even lift that chair. You got to have really big muscles to get that chair and put it, you know, under your desk. And like, he'll run in to show me that he can do that. Or one time I was like, I bet you could show me where your cut, or what did I say? I bet you can't show me where your cubby is. I don't know if you know where it is. And then he said, yes, I can. And then he'll stomp into the building and at least get into his classroom.
Right.
So I have tried that before. A lot of times we'll try to give the child like a responsibility right when they arrive in their classroom. So maybe they're the one who, just does like a little job in their classroom. Maybe they move the little magnet on the board to the right day or whatever. Or they have a task that they have to do as soon as they get in the classroom, just to start building that ownership in the classroom and that routine. Yours is kind of the extreme case.
He is the extreme.
I know we have talked about like building up you know, working up to a full day. So I know you were mentioning that they come like a partial day. And I think that's a good way to build up that stamina to be at school all day long.
I did ask him, I'm like, what do you do when you go home? And he goes, I take a nap. I was are you kidding?
Exhausted from fighting it all day.
Yeah. So he comes for us, you know, he gets his breakfast. By the time he finishes breakfast, it's basically lunchtime. We feed him again. And so he's there for the food. I'm really proud that I was able to last week, get him onto the playground with other kids. And it was really the first time that he interacted at all with other kids. Okay. And he wasn't too sure at first, but he finally was like, yeah, I'm going to go down the slide. But I was like trying to sneak back inside the building, right? Because, you know, all the teachers and the monitors that are out there, I was like, okay, I can get some work done. But he's like, will you watch me out the window? So I was like, yeah, watch out the window.
Yeah, that's actually good.
Coming compromise. To the window to make sure I'm still there.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I brought my computer with me when I was, that's as far as we've made it.
And I know you had mentioned that the students spend some time with you in your office. I wonder if they could choose a friend to come in your office and like play a game together or something. It sounds like this student really hasn't been exposed to a lot. And so they probably don't know how to use their classroom. You know, like it's kind of like when you give a little kid a new toy and it comes in a box and they like the box better because they know how to play with the box. They know what it does. It's familiar. It's comforting, but they don't want to play with the new toy because they don't know how to use it. That kind of makes me think like with your student that they don't really know like the process and the routines of a classroom. And so they like, don't want to, you know, it just is scary to them. So maybe if you had them in your office, just playing a game or something to really start building familiarity with other kids.
But that might be something to try because right now I don't even think he knows one kid's name in his classroom.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that part's pretty sad. And that's solely because we have such a hard time getting him to not just go in, but to stay in when we finally get him in.
Right.
Sometimes I joke around, like today we were able to get him in for like a few minutes. And I mean, a few minutes when I was like, lock the door.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. Lock the door.
Yeah. It can be hard. Like it can be hard too for the other kids because they want to be helpful and kind. And I've seen it where kids really try to reach out and they'll do it for a while. And then they kind of give up because it's hard to make that connection. And you kind of see them like try, but then they back off a little bit if it's not working. So that's hard.
I wonder if I go in and we have like a routine, like let's go hang up your backpack. Let's, you know, this is what you have to do first. You have to hang up the backpack first. After you hang your backpack, maybe if I can get him into his room before he gets breakfast.
Yeah.
Right.
And does he get to have like a choice with breakfast? Is it like, you know, you can pick a Pop-Tart or a waffle or something?
No, they're pretty much all bagged up for our kids.
Yeah.
Everyone gets the same basic.
Understand. Okay.
So.
Or something where they have a choice, you know, if there's a way they can have a choice when they get into the classroom of something else, where it's like, you know, two choices that are already approved of, like, would you rather sit beside this child, or would you, you know, something where they still feel like they're in control.
I know the teacher has actually asked him if when he is there, would he like to get choice A or choice B? Would you like to play with the blocks or would you like to pick something off the shelf? He hasn't really responded too much, but I think maybe it's something that we just have to keep trying.
Right. And just like keep exposing him to different experiences at school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would maybe reach out too to the grownups at home and like see if there are anything they can do over the summer, you know, any programs or camps or anything that they could have their child go to just to keep that momentum going.
We have him signed up for summer school.
Okay.
It's like a special summer school program that we have to just keep kids, you know, he is, but yeah, I guess with our little guy, we'll just keep, I think maybe the biggest key is to just not give up, to, if something doesn't work, to just try something else.
Right. Yeah. And I think he'll see over time, you know, that you're committed to him and you're trying to build that relationship, and he's going to have, you're going to be his safe person, or, you know, the other people working with him will be safe people to him. And I think he'll kind of relax into that the more that you spend time with him.
So I think it's just so sad when somebody starts like mid-year when all the routines have already been established. I think that's maybe the hardest part.
Right. Yeah, that is really hard. And especially in kindergarten.
I mean, they already have so much things to get used to as a kindergartner, but have to go through the change, you know, multiple times sometimes is really difficult.
And keep coming back. I mean, we have kids, sometimes when we start the beginning of the year midweek, they think that on Friday, you know, after Friday's over, they're finished with kindergarten. And then Monday is a rude awakening when they have to go back to that school.
That is so true. I have a little boy every Friday who says, bye, I'm leaving for good.
Yep.
I'm like, I'll
that and Christmas break, or the winter break, is always, you know, a tough time. It seems like coming back after a long break, they don't realize that they still have more school to come to.
Well, I think your session this summer is going to be fantastic. I know, I really can't wait to hear more of what you have. And looking at, you know, listening to, I can't wait to listen to your strategies and the tips and like some of the books and things that you use. And because I know that's something that you're planning on too. So I think it's going to be great.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I think this is something that, even though we're both right now elementary counselors, like I'm coming from a secondary level too. And we had kids that refused at the secondary level.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that this is a good topic for everyone, because I think, I don't think there's one counselor out there that doesn't experience some child with some school anxiety or school refusal.
Right.
So yay. Is there anything else that you want to let our let listeners know?
Just that I'm excited to be on the podcast, your new podcast, by the way. Congratulations.
It's
been really fun to listen to some of your episodes so far and just hear the different counselors, like unique perspectives and niches that they've really, you know, figured out kind of what to do for different situations and stuff. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to the conference. You know, I'm going to be attending as well as presenting, because there are always new strategies you can learn, and just being able to learn from other counselors that are on the front lines like we are, you know, it's a great way to learn.
And I don't care how long you've been a counselor. I think there's always something new, or not just something new, but maybe a better or an easier way.
Yeah. And I think it really does just, you know, doing PD at the end of the summer just kind of puts you in that back to school mindset. And like, anytime you're excited about trying a fresh new idea, it's so helpful, you know, to be able to go back in kind of rejuvenated.
Exactly. All right. Well, before we wrap up today, I didn't share this with you, but I have a question for you.
Okay.
Are you ready? So this was like the big topic of conversation in one of my groups today. And so I'm going to share this question with you.
Okay.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh my gosh. We just had hot dogs Saturday night. That's so funny. I think I'm going to say no. I don't know. Okay. I'm going to say no.
And you have to defend your answer, because, you know,
I just lump it in with cookout food and hamburgers, and it's not, I mean, yes, it has toppings and stuff, but I don't even think they sell, do they have hot dogs at sandwich shops? Like, hot dogs are hot and some sandwiches can be cold. I don't know. I do love hot dogs, I would say. But I'm going to go with no.
With no. Okay.
Yeah.
I will say my answer is I think it depends on how you cook your hot dogs. When I was growing up, my mom always made me a lunch for school, and sometimes I would get a hot dog sandwich. And so what that meant was she would take the hot dog and she'd slit it down the middle,
yes,
and then kind of like in quarters so that it would fit nicely on the bun. And then she would put mustard all over it and, you know, slap it between two slices of bread. And
that is arguably could be a sandwich. My son, the other night, we had Five Guys, and the hot dogs at Five Guys kind of come like that, where they slice it down the middle. And I just kept staring at it like, how many hot dogs did they put in there?
So, yeah. So is it a sandwich or not? Anyway, and before we leave, do you want to share how our listeners can find you?
Yeah. So I have Instagram and Facebook. Both of those, I am Counselor Station. And that is the name of my TPT store as well. And my website is counselorstation.com. So you can find me there. And Boys Town Press also has an author page about me too. If you wanted to check out some of the social emotional learning books that I write, they have an author page for me. So yeah, any of those places.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so, so much for joining me today and telling us a little bit about, you know, separation anxiety, school anxiety, and school refusal. So
yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to talk to other counselors, and you do so much for school counselors. It's been great to chat with you today.
So great. So thanks again. And we'll be talking soon, I'm sure.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Counselor Chat. All of the links I talked about can be found in the show notes and at counselingessentials.org/podcast. Be sure to hit follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast player. And if you would be so kind to leave a review, I'd really appreciate it. Want to connect? Send me a DM on Facebook or Instagram at Counseling Essentials. Until next time, can't wait till we chat. Bye for now.